And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. I'm talking y'all. This show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. I got a call on line one. I'll go ahead and take Sparky from Harvest. Hey, Spark, how you doing?
Hey, really good. And thank you for talking at that Veterans Day event. That sounds like a really, really wonderful event. Proud that you got to represent, sir.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. It's an honor.
Yeah, I know you're gonna talk about yesterday's election briefly. Let me tee that up.
All right.
I think if the Democrats across the nation had any success yesterday, if they had legitimate success in 2020, a lot of that I doubt, seriously. And then if they're going to have any success next year in 2024, to me, it's clear in my mind and the finger on the pulse of what's going on in universities and other places across the nation. It really isn't about a success. The Democrat politicians have nothing to gloat about right now because they can't stand on their policy.
Yeah.
And I don't believe that most Democrats truly, truly want wide open borders, millions of fentanyl deaths, abortion from conception all the way until and right after birth, and all the other platform cornerstones of what the Democrats stand for. I think the success has been in using the social media and the mainstream news media to foment hatred toward anybody with an R after their name, anybody that's a conservative, anybody that's a Christian, and anybody who the media tells them and instructs them to be offended by. I really don't think it has anything to do with the policy or the politicians.
No, I don't disagree with that. I mean, the one outlier that I can't help but wonder about, though, is that governor of the governor's race in Kentucky, because it's a red state, moderate, but yet a red state, and the Democrat governor won. And even though the Republican gubernatorial candidate lost, other statewide Republican candidates won. And I'm looking at that thinking, okay, I'm assuming he was a popular guy, the Democrat. But were they really? They weren't voting for his policies. But I agree with you. The whole thing, I think that people are being jazzed up by the occasional social media post or the better messaging. The Democrats are often better at messaging these days, it seems like, than we are. But yeah.
But it's really about instructing young minds and now adult working age minds to hate and to go to the polling places to hold their nose and vote for the name with a D behind it because they hate anything with an R behind it at the polling place. There's no better example in the last month than the maniacal demonstrations of hatred and antagonism toward Israelis and Jews, and therefore, by proxy, Republicans. Your average American, let alone Democrat, who's out protesting in honor of Hamas and Hezbollah and the Palestinians, I doubt any of them can find Israel or Palestine or the Gaza Strip on a map. If you spun the globe and then said, find the general region for me, just sort of, or just if you can, that northern or southern hemisphere, go ahead. I don't think they can do it. I think they knew nothing about Palestine and the Gaza Strip before this atrocity was committed a month ago by Hamas. I don't think they cared one iota. And now that they've been instructed to hate, they're demonstrating their hate. Just like the Washington Redskins team name or tearing down Confederate statues. Nobody cared about those statues or the Washington Redskins team name until they were instructed to hate by the mainstream media and certain players inside the Washington, D.C. Beltway who are paying the salaries of the mainstream media.
I don't disagree with that, man. That's good stuff. Sparky, appreciate you, man. Thanks for the call.
All right, good show. Thank you.
All right, hey, buddy. Wow, that's great. That's great commentary right there. I tell you what, I'm pretty sure I could just turn this show over to the audience sometimes, and it would be a better show. I mean,
they always have incredible input.
Saying, yeah, they do. You got a couple of texts here. Let's see what we got. Dustin from Hazel Green says, can't mention We Were Soldiers in the movie without mentioning the book's full name, We Were Soldiers Once and Young. Yep, great, great book. Mandatory reading when I was at the infantry officer course. Very difficult to read, gut-wrenching at times, he says, but makes you so proud of those young men. Absolutely. And by the way, I think it was it 1-5 Cav? So 1-7 was under Colonel Moore. They're the ones who fought the initial battle in the I Drang. And then when they had a relief in place by the 1-5 then got wiped out on a movement where they were ambushed, and the battalion was decimated. I want to say something like 78% of the next battalion was wiped out. It was one of the biggest victories, followed by immediately by one of the biggest losses of the entire Vietnam War. So basically, the movie with Mel Gibson was the first half of the book. Didn't even cover the second half of the book. Let me just jump on in here. All right, let me jump on in. Some of you are tuning in right now for the first time, and others of you, like John from Huntsville, may have been listening all day long to different other shows, but let's just recap a few things that happened, because it's significant what happened. I mentioned yesterday that we were looking at those elections in places like Ohio and Kentucky and Virginia, especially Virginia, as being seen as potential bellwethers. Did not go well for Republicans. I'll be the first to admit I am chagrined by the whole thing, and I think that we better see some very purposeful soul-searching. We better. So first of all, what happened? Let's just talk about the what. The what that happened last night, story here on Fox. Democrats will not only retain control of the Virginia State Senate, but they also flipped the House of Delegates. So it was a Republican House, Republican governor. All they were trying to do was flip the Senate. They lost the House and lost the Senate. That's amazing. As of last night, the AP was projecting at least 21 Democrats to be elected to the state Senate, 51 Democrats being elected to the House. Unclear how strong the Democrat majority would be in each chamber. But y'all, this was big doings. This was considered to be one of those races or race seasons to watch, because it was considered to be a state. Oh, by the way, a state that is going to be a potential swing state. It's a state that's, you know, been trending red, but yet is roughly purple. So what could happen? Policies were at play here. Governor Youngkin, it was conceived by many to be a test of his political stamina and his political status. He got out there and he went hard on certain key issues. There are those who are saying, by the way, that one of the most divisive things that occurred was the question of abortion. Now, I got thoughts and concerns on this. First of all, I'm as pro-life as you can get. I carried the personhood bill in the Alabama Senate. I was the one moving for things to be done in terms of abortion from the moment of conception, and not one of the. I was one of the. And when I was in the Senate, by the way, we passed in Alabama a constitutional amendment, which the people of the state voted overwhelmingly to support and added to our state constitution, that there is not going to wind up being a constitutional right under Alabama law for an abortion. We're a pro-life state. Virginia's largely a pro-life state, too. But the concern that some people have right now, and this is what we got to talk about, is our inability to properly message the positions. Because the Democrats are seizing upon this, and they're messaging it. They're messaging it as a loss of rights, an infringement upon liberties, a inability by the Republicans to see that a woman has, you know, an effort for self-determination at all with her body. I mean, they're wording it, their words, not mine. I'm just saying what they're putting together is a messaging package that is doing a better job than us, doing a lot better job than us. We as Republicans better recognize that pro-life is not just about inside the womb. Sometimes pro-life can be maternity care. Sometimes pro-life can be neonatal care for underprivileged women. Sometimes pro-life can be adoption policies that allow for someone to carry a child to term and then receive the benefit of government assistance with adoption processes. There's a lot of things that we need to do better. We better put a messaging package together. I can tell I got a caller on the line real quick, so I tell you what, let me do that. I've got about 2 minutes before we go to the break. Is that Kareem? Let me grab Kareem on line one, Boone. Kareem, how you doing, man?
How you doing there, Phil?
I'm good, buddy. What's on your mind?
You know, my thing is I think Republicans got a problem reading the room.
Yeah.
It's such a simple thing. You cannot tell me what to do with my family. You understand that? You don't like me. If I was to come to your house and tell you that make your wife do something or make your daughter do something that she doesn't want to do, you're not going for that.
You talking about abortion?
It's a simple thing. Yeah, I'm talking about abortion.
Okay.
It is their choice. It is their bodies. You have to respect that. If you don't respect that, you keep pushing religious views on people. They can love God. I got 8 kids, Phil. 8. And we didn't have any abortions. But if something came up, one of my daughters got pregnant, and she didn't want to keep the baby, for whatever, that is her thing. My job will be to try to talk her out of it or tell her we're going to be there for her. But just to plain out and make it law, you can't do it or I'm going to lock you up and I'm going to throw the key away.
Hang on a second, Kareem. I mean, that's some strong hyperbole. No one's talking about locking you up and throwing the key away. I mean, that's not happening.
Oh, yes, they are.
No.
You have Alabama, right here in Alabama. What do you say? He's trying to lock people up who help people
We're
get
talking
abortions
about
that leave the state for
doctors
abortion.
Assisting an abortion.
He's trying to lock people
so hang
up.
On a second, Kareem. Let's have a conversation. If you're going to call in on a hot topic like this, we only got about a minute, but let me just say this. The reality is, yes, you can pass laws on this. You absolutely can. It's called legislative representation. People go to Montgomery or any other state capital, and they pass the laws that the people of the state put them in place. In Alabama, by the way, the constitutional amendment for pro-life was voted on by the people on the ballot. So, yes, you can pass laws on this. Now, the other question I have, though, is, where's the limit? I mean, would you want your grandchild to be aborted just prior to birth? Are you saying you want that, or is
no,
there a limit in your mind?
Absolutely not. And then, when Republicans say that, and then the women out here, they know that's just not true.
That's not true.
That's not happening like that.
No, that is true. It's called late-term abortion, and you know what's happening.
If that's true, then we wouldn't be. I know you have certain late-term abortions, you know, if the kid has Down syndrome or the woman can't carry it to term.
There are states that are promoting. There are state governments that are promoting late-term abortion up until nearly the point of birth. So you can't say that.
Listen,
the reality
I
is—
I have never met anybody. I've never seen it. All I'm saying is that you cannot, like you said before, y'all didn't want the government to come between you and your doctor when it came to Obamacare. Why should we allow the government to come between you and your doctor now when it comes to childbirth?
Okay.
But
the point we have here, Kareem, and this is where I think the messaging gets lost. The point we have here is you are only considering one of two lives there. The baby has to have some rights. Under Alabama law, if you murder a pregnant woman, it's a double homicide. Why? Because we recognize the sanctity of the life of the child in the womb having also been taken. So you got to recognize. I've got to go to a break here, Kareem. But you got to recognize that at some point, that baby is a person, and that's the thing. I think that we have to amplify the ability to portray the child as a person. At the same time, we have to also do more to help take care of the child, so that women recognize they have more options. Kareem, I got to go to a break, man. I ran long. Take me to a break, Boom. We'll do that right now. I got somebody else already holding on the line, so we'll get to that here in a minute. Yeah, there's late-term abortion out there. It's real. It's heinous. But here's the thing. We have got to find a better way of packaging the better message, or they're going to keep beating us up on hyperbole like what you just heard. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, let me go to the phones because we had somebody that held on through Kareem's call and the break, so I appreciate that. Dave from Rimlap, which I believe is down yonder in Blount County, if I'm not mistaken. Dave, how you doing?
Yeah, man, you're right. Blount County. I got one question before I tell you what I was going to tell you.
Yeah.
Did you ever know, were you ever in charge or in headquarters or something like that with the 203 military police out of Alabama?
No, sir, I was not.
DD, okay, I was wondering if you knew my son.
No, sir, I apologize, anyway. I don't.
That's okay. Hey, it's a big world. No, my uncle was, he was one of the 12 during Vietnam that the pilots that they were known as the Dirty Dozen, and they were the ones that started that flew the Puff the Magic Dragon.
Oh yeah.
And during World War II, he flew P-51 stateside, and they were very serious. They were armed to the teeth. It's not like nowadays. They were guarding the East Coast, and of course he loved that airplane. But I told him one time. Of course he's passed on now. I said, well, Unc, hey, we've all got weapons here, you know. We'd be a hard adversary to take down. He says, well, we'd be real easy to. He said, you can have all the guns you want if you're not organized. And he's right. That's where we are today. We're not organized. Oh. People are taking it. And you said something the other day, and this is part of basic training. Keep your head on a swivel.
Yeah.
And what I told Boomer when I to do this call, I left the house about a little over 2 hours ago, and there was a report on Newsmax, and it was a report that the VA has given all of our information. I think the story was it was 21 cents per person to the left, all of the military people, and so we need to keep these kind of things in mind. What always comes back to me, we left 370,000 M16s. And 174,000 machine guns, and I presume that's 50 caliber on down. No telling what all styles and types there were, but I'm sure they all have weapons. And those weapons have not surfaced anywhere. So I've got this eerie feeling that what's invaded this southern border may have the less opportunity to give those weapons to them.
Well, Dave, appreciate you, man. Appreciate your family's service too, and your points well taken. Thanks for the call, man. I tell you what. Let me go back on to topic though. The reality of where we are cannot be overstated. And it should certainly not be understated. We better have a practical conversation about where we are right now politically. Because like I said yesterday in my monologue, if you think for a second that we can endure another 4 years of Biden policies, I mean, think about this. What I know this audience, so I know who I'm talking to, and we've got a few folks who don't, you know, tend to vote conservative or Republican, like Kareem calls in, and I appreciate his commentary. But the reality is this: the vast majority of you, let's don't just let ourselves talk inside our bubble. All right, think outside your bubble, because apparently there are people out there who don't view things like we do, and go figure. But we're going to come back from this break here in a minute, and I'm going to try to be pragmatic and honest, and we got to have that conversation together, y'all. Because if you think for a second that because you live in red state Alabama, that means everything's going to be fine. Well, Biden policies have been affecting Alabama too, right? What's your price like at the grocery store? Maybe better than California, but still bad for Alabama. What's been your price at the pump? Maybe better in California, but you're still, you know, feeling it in Alabama. Everything about the Biden policies affects this state. And we cannot rest on our laurels. Not for a second. And we can also not look aside from things that happened yesterday and say, huh, hate it for Virginia. I mean, there were some high water marks. There were some good things that happened. But what we also saw yesterday was we had better, on the right side of the voting, get ourselves together. I'm just saying, we had better do it. And we got to be honest with ourselves in doing so. And it might mean that we have to have a change in leadership, which I'm starting to question how Ronald McDaniel is still in charge of the National Republican Party. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Be right back. Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out there.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And yeah, like the dude just said, we cover all of it, like solid conservative and just plain right. Well, every once in a while we have one of those shows where you can just tell, you can feel it. You can just tell you have hit a nerve, and I think we're there right now. I am already in hour number two, and Boomer, I have done entirely, I think I've had one of my resource articles used so far, and the phones have been ringing, and the text lines are coming, are going in. By the way, text lines, phone lines, same number, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. You are welcome to it. Let me get a few of these before I get spun out of control here. Brian from Decatur says, I know the media considers the fourth branch of government. However, I think it has exposed itself as most likely more powerful because of its ability to sway politicians to its bidding. Interesting. Interesting. Kentucky voters, says Trina from Elkmont, Kentucky voters called in to another show earlier to say they voted for Bashir due to how he handled the tornado and some flood they had. Yeah, and by the way, Bashir, we'll get to that in a minute, but Bashir is also, my recollection is, his is sort of a legacy name in Kentucky state politics, I believe. And yeah, he carried the day. He did. And he's an extremely popular governor. And when you've, you know, done the right things in a crisis that affected people's lives, it carries forward. A couple more of these, and I'll get a phone call. John from Huntsville, Texas, in, says, Phil, I will never understand how most Democrats, at least in my opinion, believe that if a woman wants to give birth to the baby, they call it a baby. But if they don't want the baby, it's called a blob of tissue. You're spot on, brother. Dale from Ardmore. Actually, it says that's Roger from Ardmore. So I guess we need to change his name. He says, when the abortion issue comes up, I hear pro-abortion women claiming it's their body, their rights. Wasn't it their body when Biden mandated COVID vaccines? Yeah. And some of them took the vaccine. Bev from Madison. One simple question. If you believe in the right to an abortion, then you would not have minded being aborted, whether you were a fertilized egg or a bundle of cells or a fetus. Or are you an elitist and it's perfectly okay to abort inconvenient children but not inconvenient you? Bev from Madison. Okay. And then she says, like a postscript here, says, an inconvenient child who would not be here texting this if abortion had been legal when I was conceived for a couple of reasons on that list, why a mother should have the right to... Okay, wow. So basically what she's saying is she was one of those who many people use as a grounds for getting an abortion. I didn't mean to turn the whole show into abortion. We're going to have more of a conversation about this. We need to talk about the political opportunities for Republicans going forward. But in the meantime, I'll take a call. Line one, Marsha from Rogersville. Hey, Marsha, how you doing?
Hello. I wanted to make a comment kind of in response to Kareem, and I appreciate what he was saying. But there's a couple issues there, except in the case of maybe rape or incest, the young woman has already had an opportunity to have control over her body, complete control over her body, and she's made a decision which now does not involve just herself. Because of the way the human being is made, she no longer has responsibility for just herself. There is another human being she now has to consider. So it's not just she's got control over her body. It's her control over someone else's body who has no opportunity to speak for themselves.
Great points. Well said, Marsha. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. This is an inflammatory issue. We could spend all day just talking about abortion, and we're not. We're not going to do that. I will say this. Republicans have better do a better job of talking about why we're pro-life as opposed to just anti-abortion. We've got to pivot the, and I heard somebody say, and I thought, you know what, that resonates with me. It might be legit. I can't think who said this, but you know, Roe v. Wade, we're just barely a year past Roe v. Wade being sent back to the states in the Dobbs decision. It's almost like, okay, the dog caught the bumper of the car. Now what? So all of a sudden, Republicans or pro-life folks who have been fighting for decades got what we've been asking for. Now we better figure out how to handle this. And we're doing a sorry job, apparently. I'm just going to tell you. I think, this is Phil talking, I am decidedly pro-life. I am absolutely of the belief that life begins from the moment of conception. I do. I am absolutely of the mind that while I understand that there will be times when that pregnancy was not what you expected and it could be life altering, and I get that. But I think what we've done a bad job of doing is moving off of the legal, which is all the legal fights we had to get rid of Roe v. Wade, all the legal wranglings we did in state legislatures, all the legal wranglings we did before the Supreme Court and in Congress and elsewhere, all the legal wranglings, all the political wranglings. We've got to move to the moral. We've got to begin to convince people, A, that baby's precious, and B, young mother or woman who is now faced with this, we're going to be there for you. We're not going to vilify you. We're not going to ostracize you. We're not going to make you feel like a second-class citizen. You know what? Your situation is what it is now, but we're going to be there for you. How do we do that? There are ways to do that. We can certainly, within our state governments, begin to say, we're a pro-life state, but life is not about just in the womb. Life is about everything to do with the womb and beyond. So how do we structure ourselves? I think, for instance, in Alabama, my hope is that we're going to be watching right now to see state legislatures like those in Alabama say, you know what we need? We need to do a better job of working to take care of pregnant mothers. We need to do a better job of making sure that we are there for them. How can we do that? Well, there's any number of ways you can do things like, you know, neonatal care and providing tax relief and, you know, encouraging folks towards adoption. And at the same time, how do we promote adoption? And then all these things can be done. You package this as a we're our pro-life, not just anti-abortion. It changes the narrative. And we better change that narrative. We better take that moral high ground, because right now, apparently, when you watch the news, the bellwether state of Virginia and the bellwether state of Ohio are basically claiming their own ground and putting a stake in it that says that, hey, we win on abortion because we made you out to be monsters. How are we monsters? Aren't we saving lives? Yes. And we're doing a horrible job at talking about it. So, any number of things to cover here, but in amongst all of this, you've got to recognize that we didn't do well last night. And we better figure it out. And I am not talking about watering down values. I am not at all. There is a way for us to move forward on the moral high ground and gain the political high ground. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the story right here from the Daily Wire. Democrats take Virginia legislature, neutering Governor Youngkin's agenda and putting a felon in charge of the House. Think about this. In Virginia, it was competitive, even though one of their House delegates got caught having an online porn business of herself, and she was a candidate. And she lost this morning, they found out, but it was close enough to where they couldn't tell last night. Or how about this? Apparently, the guy who is now in charge of the House of Delegates in Virginia has a felony record. Just look at that going, why is this a thing? How can this be? But that's where we are. Now, don't take everything as being bad yesterday. We had some things. Where were the wins? All right. Well, just so you know, in Kentucky, we did not win. By the way, that candidate we had for the governor's race in Kentucky is about as good a candidate as you could ask for. A dynamic young man who is fresh on the scene, who has served honorably as the Attorney General for the state, very conservative. By the way, a rising star as a black man in the Republican Party, which we need to find more ways to reach people of color as Republicans. And he went down to a guy who's extremely popular because Beshear, the Democrat, carried the day, although it was not the only race. Here's the big but, .. Kentucky Republicans also pulled off a win in their Secretary of State race. Statewide candidate for Secretary of State was a Republican, and he won. So apparently we had people that were willing to cross over vote and not just be straight party voters. Okay, their vote, I get it. But you have to look at it and go, huh, don't they understand what they just did? Maybe, maybe not. All right, we're going to take a break right now. We get back from this break. I'll keep this going. Listen, the text messages are flowing. Calls are coming in. Listen, what do you think? Where do we need to go with this? What's the takeaway for you? I'd love to hear it. What's the takeaway for you going into the 2024 elections? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making it, like, cool to be a conservative. I got a caller who held on during the break, so let me grab that real quick. Mike from Huntsville. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Hey, Phil. Listen, you were mentioning the messaging that takes place with the pro-life versus the anti-abortion issue. And when we won Roe, immediately, Lindsey Graham and some of the others that just have no walking around sense came out and said we needed to do a national referendum with the issue of anti-abortion as opposed to a pro-life agenda. He immediately came out, and that was the thing they pushed immediately in the narrative instead of taking, you know, savoring the victory of repealing Roe and allowing it to go back to the states under the 10th Amendment. We went ahead and decided, basically the neocon people decided that they would go and push the issue nationally, which turned a lot of people immediately against it and gave the Democrats an absolute platform to target and make it look like they were crazy.
You're absolutely right. And by the way, why would they squander that message? I mean, I saw what you're saying, and I remember that now. And why they would squander the opportunity to take the high ground is beyond me.
Because they really don't like the victories. They'd rather be sitting there fighting on the defensive to where they can't get anything done. And that's pretty what they did. They put the victory, and they basically snatched defeat out of the mouth of victory. That was an incredible victory for pro-life.
It was.
But did we take it and savor it in the way that we should? No, not a bit.
Well,
what we did, we decided we'd act like grandstanding and do it disastrously, and that's exactly what happened, and this is the result.
All right. Point taken, Mike. Appreciate your call. Thanks for holding on. So several things, and by the way, abortion is not the only issue on the ballot. Now, it was a big deal, and the press is going to tell you it was the biggest deal. I think there's other things, too. There's going to be a mixed bag right now as to whether or not Trump is, I mean, and this was not, by the way, this was not really a indictment of Trump in any way. Now, Trump had just gone out and sort of, you know, hung his name on the Republican candidate in Kentucky. And keep in mind, that guy was polling neck and neck. It was 47-47 in one of the most recent polls just prior to. So Trump's endorsement didn't get the Republican candidate across the threshold in Kentucky, but Governor Tate Reeves in Mississippi, he fought off a formidable challenge from a guy named Brandon Presley, whose biggest claim to fame was that he's Elvis's second cousin or something like that. He was a former mayor and a Mississippi Public Service Commission member. He had name ID and all of it. And Democrats put $6 million. The Democrat Governors Association outside of the state put $6 million into that Democrat. But Trump had also done a rally for Tate Reeves over Mississippi, and he won. So I don't know that we can say that Trump dragged anything down anywhere. Now, I think that there are people who are concerned about the top of the ticket, and they're concerned about whether Trump's going to survive. But right now, I would say that what happened was we had issues on ballots that were galvanizing. We had tons of money being thrown in because, and by the way, where was Biden? So Trump is campaigning, and he's willing to go out there and help candidates. Where was Biden? Was Biden in Virginia? No. Was Biden down yonder in Mississippi? No. Why not? Because he's a drag on their ticket. So, you know, it's a bit of a mixed bag. Here's the thing. Down ballot races don't always seem sexy, but they are important. They're huge. They're hugely important because policy is made at the down ballot level. And what we saw yesterday was a Democrat governor win in a red state in Kentucky. A Republican governor, very popular in Virginia, lose the legislative races he was supporting. You had a Mississippi incumbent Republican governor win against a pretty formidable opponent, to be honest. And then you had things on the ballot, like Ohio had a absolutely pro-abortion ballot measure that won. And yet in Texas, they had an anti-green energy thing that promoted the oil and gas industry on the ballot that won. So it's a mixed bag. I think part of it is we have got to see better messaging. We had better brace ourselves. Here's the other thing. The Republican National Committee had better do a better job coming up of fundraising and messaging. Overall, we had better encapsulate not just what to be scared of, but what we'll do. And then on top of that, I hate to say it, but money drives elections too. And we are getting outraged right now. We're getting outraged because, I don't know, Ronna McDaniel is the head of our National Republican Committee, and I'm looking at it going, the RNC, and I'm looking at it going, look, you presided, Ronna McDaniel presided over a disastrous midterm, and now she presided over a very tepid off-cycle election. And we're staring at probably one of the most critical presidential races we have ever had in this country, ever had in this country's history. And I do not say that lightly. That is not meant to be alarmist. That is just fact, y'all. What has happened in 3 years in this country under the Biden administration's, you know, fecklessness and recklessness is just got to be shifted. I don't know how we sustain another 4 years of it. So there. Anyway, several text messages. Tom from Huntsville says, his takeaway is the anti-American, anti-freedom forces that want to finish us off as a shining city on the hill have sown enough chaos and confusion that knows what it is real, that no one knows what is real or trust anything anymore. Evil's on the march, and we all need to wake up, or we will see the next dark ages. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate that one. John from Brownsboro, the Republicans need to stop defending and excusing their positions and need to confidently explain where they stand. Yes. Also, you don't have to go whole hog on the issues. Just be relevant. Give me an honest answer to an honest question. I can relate better to who they are. John from Brownsboro. Thank you, man. All right, we're going to shift gears. That one took a while, but I'm going to a new dipper. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.